Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley. I am your host, Sally Hanlon. Wellness is important to a balanced lifestyle, and more, we as humanity are figuring out how certain elements can lead to positive results, from mental health to the environment, including all things that can affect your wellness. I'm happy to invite you into conversations on ways to improve or think differently about wellness in the Lehigh Valley. And tonight we're going to be focusing on the environment. And I have some students who were interns this summer with the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley joining us. But before we get introductions to them, I want to give a brief description of how this program is sort of focused. With the exception of humans, all other creatures tend to live in harmony with nature, and it is this human disharmony that will eventually lead to irreversible damage. Our environment is suffering worldwide. It seems to be an overwhelming task to get agreement to address issues with organizations, governments, educational institutions, families. But just like the pebble in the water, a little effort by all can have a great impact on the most difficult issues. And a key to this is education and educating early. That is why the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley Summer Intern Program focused on climate education, developing materials to help schools and teachers address climate and sustainability. This is our focus this evening. But before I introduce the three women who are the guests this evening, I want to share some student comments from past interns. Quote, in a world currently fueled by hate and differing political views, we are struggling to come together as one team to address the problems we are currently facing regarding the future of our planet. To fix this, everyone has to be more open-minded and respectful to change that the world is needed for a greater good. A first quote was by Kaylee. This quote is by Kendall. There is so much out there about climate change and environmental destruction, and a lot of it is depressing. What encourages me through studying environmental sciences and studies is the fact that ecosystems can be incredibly resilient if we let them be. Working in union with natural systems is more effective than dominating them because it encourages the connections that interface the damages. But there are certain things that are pretty irrevocable. I would like to introduce you to three women who have participated in the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Summer Intern Program. These are three rising seniors from various schools throughout the Lehigh Valley. The first would be Erin Simola, who is at DeSales and a rising senior there. The second is Samantha Semsel, who is a rising senior at Lafayette College. And the third is Raina LaBanque, who is a rising senior at Charter Arts. So let me have them introduce themselves to you and give you a little bit of background. And we're going to start first with Raina. So Raina, can you please share a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
Yes, of course. I'm Raina, and I'm a rising senior at the Lehigh Valley Charter High School for the Arts. Since we have majors at our school, I am in the literary program.
Okay. And is there anything that you're looking forward to for next year, Raina, when you get out of Charter Arts?
I'm looking forward to just continuing my interests in writing, of course, and also in this new journey in environmentalism, too.
Terrific. Glad to hear that. Samantha, could you introduce yourself, please, to our listeners?
Hi, I am a rising senior at Lafayette College. My major is government and law, which is our political science major.
Okay, and after you graduate, Samantha, what are you looking to do? What course are you looking to follow?
For a while, I've wanted to go to law school. My idea right now is maybe take a break and go for a job, try and find a job for a year or two, and then go to law school.
Okay, understood. You know, sometimes you need to have that break to get your perspective back. That's great. Yeah. Okay, Erin Simola, could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, I'm Erin. I am a rising senior at DeSales University, and I'm majoring in English, and I'm minoring in creative writing and philosophy.
Okay, and what path do you hope to take after graduating from DeSales?
I'm interested in a few different paths, but mainly publishing and editing, and I have some interest in education and museum work as well.
Great. So listeners, these are our three students who have been working this summer with the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley in their intern program. So let's start with Erin. How did you hear about this program and how did you get involved with it?
Well, my school has a website called Handshake that the Alliance posted this summer intern program on. And I thought it sounded interesting because I wanted more experience with publishing and editing. And also I have an interest in the environment and nature. So I thought it was a good way to combine my interests.
Absolutely. That's a great way to do it. And Samantha, how about you? How did you find out about it and what attracted you to get involved?
I found it the same way Erin did with Handshake. And what attracted me was there's a part of me that is considering, instead of law school, political journalism. So seeing like an opportunity to go into publishing, seeing what writing and formatting certain, there was a possibility we were going to do like a sustainability magazine for the local Lehigh Valley High School students, which we didn't get submissions for. And that just really appealed to me.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Raina, for you, what attracted you and how'd you hear about it?
For me, it was with one of my literary teachers, and we had previously been involved with the magazine. We had a few students, I think my freshman year, where they published to the magazine. And since then, I've just been really interested in getting more involved. So she brought up the topic and she said that whoever emailed her first would get the internship. And so I did that. I don't think anyone else in the class was interested. So I think that's just what drew me in. I just wanted to find out more about what the organization was wanting to do.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, because there were two projects that were stated, but you ended up working on one, which was the climate education project. Can you share what your contribution was to the climate education project that you worked on? And let's start with Raina. What was an area that you helped to focus on to bring this education to our schools?
A lot of the things I worked on this summer include writing, not because that's, you know, it's one of my passions, but also because a lot of the pages need work with, you know, some pages are missing. So for our teacher resources pages, we have different subjects that they can make lesson plans with. And even though I'm not very involved in physical education or health, I was drawn to research those pages because we didn't have any material on them. But I actually found what I researched to be very interesting. So I wrote two pages on those, including different resources from teachers. And Samantha actually gave me this resource from New Jersey, who she has a website and it gives all of her lesson plans that include physical education for middle grades, elementary and high school. So that was very helpful. But recently I wrote a blog post on teaching climate justice, which is very important because as a high school student, I don't realize some, if not any, of that subject being taught. So I think it's important.
Okay, great. And you're correct about climate justice. We just overlook it most of the time because if it doesn't affect us, we aren't aware of it. So Samantha, how about you? I mean, Raina said that you had introduced her somebody to New Jersey. What was the approach that you took with the effort for this education project?
Yeah, so in the beginning, the first thing that I did was research New Jersey and other states as well, but New Jersey was the one that interested me most. It's my home state. And New Jersey, in I think around 2020, mandated that every grade and most, if not all subjects, are required to teach about climate change. So I did research into how they implemented this and what teachers were doing and what administrative people were doing. And that's how I came across, I'm forgetting her name, this gym teacher who, a gym and health teacher who Raina mentioned. And from there, that's where I kind of went to looking at the interdisciplinary approach to teaching climate change and looking towards the specifically editing and working on the website. We've done multiple things from blog posts. There was a blog post, I think I posted it already, I'm not totally sure, about trying to engage certain people in different subjects like fashion. That was something that really interested me and I know interests a lot of people, talking about our consumption with fashion, talking about how we can implement this in ways that people wouldn't think to. And that's something that is extremely important because not every student is interested in environmental science. I know I wasn't.
Okay. All right. And Erin, how about you? What was your contribution? What was your research that you did for this climate education project?
So the area I worked on was revising a document that was created for Bethlehem School District in 2014. It was a climate sustainability commitment for the high school and the district. But it turns out that the commitment was sort of forgotten about. It wasn't really put into effect over the last decade or so. So we wanted to edit that and make it more current for 2024 and then reintroduce that to not only Bethlehem high schools, but really any in Pennsylvania, and make it more approachable for any district to adopt a climate and sustainability commitment. So I went through and edited that document. And as Samantha mentioned, we really focus on an interdisciplinary approach to teaching climate. It can be introduced into any subject, even ones that don't seem inherently connected. And I've really enjoyed the creativity that sort of goes into figuring out how to introduce climate into a variety of topics.
That's terrific, because you're right. It is interdisciplinary approach that you all have taken that is so important, because it does affect every aspect of our lives and our education. So, and we need to take a short break right now. Wow, that sort of first half went fast. So we're going to take a short break. Listeners, you are a part of Wellness Lehigh Valley this evening with our guests, Erin Samola, Samantha Semsel, and Raina LeBanc, who are summer interns with the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Weekend Edition Saturday is a well-rounded news talk program about the economy, music, literature, and more. Join host Scott Simon and company as they discuss the latest events happening around the world. Start your weekend off with great programming, beginning with Weekend Edition Saturday at 8 a.m., followed by NPR's Fresh Air Weekend at 10 a.m., and great folk, blues, and Americana on All Reed Street at 11 a.m., all here on WDIY.
Welcome back to our Wellness Lehigh Valley Discourse Program. We are talking with our guests, Erin Samola, Samantha Semsel, and Raina LeBlanc, who are summer interns for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about their intern program and their climate education project. So now I'd like to ask each of them what maybe surprised them, what they learned, what was something that, you know, they're going to be taking with them as they leave this program. So Samantha, let's start with you. Are there any items, one or two things that surprised you?
Something that surprised me, and something we talked a little bit about before, Raina was working on the health and physical education. Something that surprised me is how widespread you can really make this interdisciplinary approach, and how there are plenty of lesson plans for middle school, elementary kids that are in their physical education classes, teaching them about things like forest fires. And it really put into perspective of how you can engage students throughout any discipline, because as I mentioned before, just talking about this in science classes isn't going to work anymore. It hasn't worked. because there's so many ways you can get engagement with students about this, whether it's creative writing or talking about it in a mock trial for the COP27. So there's so many things that you can do. And another thing that not surprised me, but was really interesting to me, was reading about Indigenous Land Back and how Indigenous communities are one of the biggest forefront fighters for climate justice and climate sustainability initiatives. So reading about that was really interesting for me, because I think I knew about it, but not to the extent, and not understanding the extent of how important those initiatives are.
And I think the other thing, Samantha, that has impressed me overall with this whole climate change area is the role of students, and how the students have been impacting, hopefully, a lot of the adults and the governments that are involved in this situation. So great. Erin, how about you?
Initially, I was thinking about, you know, writing about climate in schools from a student perspective, because that's what I'm used to. But throughout this project, we've also looked into teacher and administration perspectives, which was interesting. And I ended up learning more about the way schools run in general, including facilities and operations and community engagement. So it's been interesting to look at how to improve climate education school-wide through improving certain things in facilities, such as publishing a greenhouse gas emissions report every year. A lot of schools don't do that currently, but it would be very helpful for engaging students and making the community aware of what can be done in schools and just generally in most companies that would help the environment.
By any chance, especially with the research in New Jersey that you did, was there any reference giving to the educational requirements that the states put out? Because sometimes it seems that the teachers are very limited in what they can do or create because of the requirements that the state puts on. Did you run into that at any point?
We did look into state standards, yes. New Jersey definitely has expanded theirs a lot to inherently include climate education, which is great. And we would love it if Pennsylvania did the same. But we've realized that even within somewhat limited standards, there's a lot that can be done by teachers if they, you know, want to teach this topic. It can definitely be included in classes without changing the entire core curriculum and material. It can just sort of be introduced naturally. Like, for example, in an English class, the teacher could just introduce some texts about climate and climate change without changing the entire curriculum.
All right. Well, good, because I know Pennsylvania just came out with some new standards. So keep our fingers crossed that part of the standards will allow teachers to get a little bit more creative and experimental with involving the climate in their studies. So, Raina, what about you? Anything that surprised you or you like to have reaffirmed or learned?
I think what surprised me the most was how little I've learned in high school about these topics. I mean, just this summer, I've researched more about our current climate situation than I have in the past 3 years. So it's just interesting to like look back like in perspective of, you know, like what teachers have been telling us. And we've learned a lot of other important things, but it's interesting that we only learn about past situations or situations that have nothing to do with climate at all. And while the past is completely important, I feel like not enough teachers focus on what's happening right now. And it just leaves a lot of students clueless. So I found that the most surprising. And a more like specific topic, I think, had to do with the physical education side of research that I did. And it has to do with synthetic turf at schools with sports. And while my school does not have any sports, a lot of schools do, and they use synthetic turf. And while researching, I found that there's been many cases of students getting sick from these fields, and there's been cases where it's gotten so hot that it's melted the athletes' cleats, and it's melted like any type of shoe when it's during like the summer. And there's one case in Texas where it got up to 180 degrees and students began having heat strokes. So that's another reason why it's important for teachers to start educating about it in all topics. So I found that very surprising.
Yeah, well, and the artificial turf, in addition to possibly the injuries that it also causes because it doesn't give like the ground gives, it doesn't allow our ground to get the water and filter the water that the rain provides. So, I mean, on a bunch of levels, I would imagine you have learned how that astroturf really impacts our climate.
Yeah, it's crazy how much damage it causes.
Yeah, it just, you know, and that's just it for a lot of things. And what you three are bringing up are things that we have maybe a surface level awareness of, but don't know the total depth. And that's what I think you got this summer from being a part of this program. Am I correct, Erin?
Yes, I would agree. I definitely have, I think, a more multifaceted understanding of climate and how it affects a lot of different things like health and wellness as well.
Okay, so with this understanding that the three of you got this year, are you going to continue your environmental advocacy when you return to school in the fall, when you go back to classes and talk to teachers? Is this something that you think is now going to be a part of your life? So I'll get to Erin first here. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely intend to continue environmental advocacy, both in the coming school year and beyond, hopefully. In any clubs and leadership positions I have, I'd like to talk to fellow students and some of my teacher advisors about it and see how I can work it into my interests, like in creative writing. Now I see that there are a lot more ways to involve climate in this topic, as well as just science and the traditional places we think of climate being discussed.
Terrific. And you know, it is that sort of one-to-one referral or networking that really makes the greatest impact. So that's terrific. I think we all need to do that, especially those listening after this show. They need to do that as well. Samantha, how about you? Do you think you're going to be continuing this environmental advocacy that you picked up on this summer?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that I want to carry with me. And I've definitely advocated for the climate, but not necessarily as deep as I have within this internship. And continuing forward, I definitely want to look into policy, specifically I'm a government and law major, and how that can affect how we can look through the government and look to the government. That's the issue with, you know, politics these days is there's so much lobbying with oil companies and companies that just have the better interest in mind, but still trying to look through and see what we can do in our government to continue fighting for the climate.
And Raina, how about you?
I mean, I've always wanted to advocate for the environment, but with the lack of knowledge from school, I haven't really had the knowledge to do so. But I think now that I've started doing more research with this internship, I feel like I'm actually like able to start advocating for the environment because I'm more aware of what is currently happening. So I think I'll definitely continue to work it into everything that I do.
You know, the other thing that sometimes we don't necessarily do, and I'm going to ask the three of you, this is a sort of going off channel here, but one of the things that climate change in our environment also has impact on our individual health as well, you know, whether it's the air quality, the water quality, even just interactions. Was any of that human factor with your studies this summer when you looked at climate education? I'm going to start with Samantha.
I mean, 100%. There's definitely so much human factor and so much that we personally can do to help the environment in small ways and lower our own carbon footprint. And the majority of human impact for climate change is done by big fossil food companies and big oil companies, but there are individual things that we can do. And that's something that in a lot of conversations like this gets lost. And I remember we had a conversation, and I'm forgetting who it was, but we had a conversation with guests because we've had multiple guests come in and we've talked with them. And that point exactly was brought up. So as much as that conversation shouldn't go away about big companies and what they're doing, the conversation about what we can individually do still needs importance in our everyday lives.
Was there anything, Samantha, from an individual action that you said, okay, I can do this, or everybody can do this, or, you know, we should make sure everybody's aware of this?
I mean, there's so many things that we can do. I mentioned earlier about the fashion industry. Something that to keep in mind and conscious of is that the fashion industry is one of the biggest polluters. So buying new items every time, especially from companies that are producing things for so cheap for us, if they're that cheap, think about how much waste from extra fabric goes into the landfills. But also just individually, when we buy certain things that have a lot of plastic in the fabrics, like workout clothes, when we wash those items, microplastics get into our water systems. So there are individual things that we can do to help the environment when it comes to things like fashion, comes to things like our hygiene. There are zero waste packaging for shampoo and conditioner. There's shampoo and conditioner bars. Same thing with dish soap. It just comes down to understanding that, like, there are simple, small things, and sometimes they can save you a lot of money too at the end of the day. So yeah. Single use items are what is driving a lot of things to go into landfills, and trying to switch those products out with long-term sustainable products.
Okay. All right. And I'm so sorry, but it looks like we're at the end of our show. And I would like to just ask one more question of each of you. Would you recommend that students who are listening to this consider an internship with Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley going forward? Let's start with Samantha.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to really get in depth and understanding, there's multiple things that Peter, who is the one who runs these internships, he covers. If you are in any way interested in justice and system reform, look into these internships.
Okay. Raina, your thoughts? Any students at Charter Arts you think should participate?
I definitely think that more students should reach out to these topics, and they're very overwhelming, which is why many people avoid them. But I think just trying to understand, and even just taking a risk, as some people may put it, is very important, because what is at stake is us. And as young people, I think it's more crucial than many other ages to start the climate journey. And with internships like this and other internships throughout the Lehigh Valley and across the country even, I think it's possible for many students to start making a difference in climate change and how people see it.
And Erin, your thoughts?
As we've emphasized throughout, this is a very interdisciplinary topic. So you don't have to be an environmental science major to get something from this internship with Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley. Like, as an English major, I definitely feel I've gotten a lot, both in the writing aspect, the editing aspect, as well as just my general environmental awareness. And I think people of any major could really benefit from learning about these topics, and they'd get a lot of great experience in whatever their field of interest is, you know, from law and policy to healthcare, accounting. There have been a lot of different internships that are mentioned on the website. And I think that's very cool.
Terrific. Ladies, I want to thank you. I want to thank Raina LeBlanc, who is a rising senior at Charter Art School. I want to thank Samantha Semsel, who is a rising senior at Lafayette, and Erin Simola, who is a rising senior at DeSales. And I want to thank Peter Crownfield, who has mentioned he's an educator and activist, as well as program developer for Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley. And Peter always brings me opportunities to share with our listeners on WDIY. And I want to thank you, listeners, for making the time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on major podcast platforms. I'm Sally Hanlon, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Wellness Lehigh Valley.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.